Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good morning. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is no guest at all. Richard and I have decided to clear out our mailbag and spend the time answering a lot of questions and checking with the news we haven't had a time to get to yet. We've done this in the past and generally to positive reviews. Hopefully that trend will continue.
We're taking listener questions for people who want to tweet them at us at RWM21.
All right. Our first question comes from a listener at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. This listener noted that when he was playing off free play, video poker, at some casinos, some machines aren't eligible. He wants to know why and whether he should look for such machines after he's through playing with his free play. Figuring if the casino doesn't want to play him to play free play on, it's got to be a better machine for him to play. Usually, when specific video poker machines are excluded from collecting free play, it's because they're the loosest machines in the house. Or at least one of the games on that box is the loosest in the house. So if you have to play off your free play, they make you play it on a game that's 1% or 2% tighter. For most players, your free play at any one time is a relatively small amount. If you have $20 or a free play to collect, and you have to do it 2% tighter, well, that's 40 cents. For each individual player, it's a small amount. For the casino at whole, of course, it does add up. But it really pisses off the players. It is far smarter for a casino to give a teensy bit less in free play and let the players play it off whatever they want. The bottom line can be the same, but now the players are in a friendlier mood when they think about that casino. Insofar as which games to play after you're done playing the free play, there are a lot of factors that go into deciding which machine to play, including denomination, the return on the game, do you know the game, do you like the game, blah, blah, blah. A machine that is excluded from free play collection may have 12 different games on it with 3 or 4 different denominations. Some of those are good games, some not so much. Just because it's on such a machine does not automatically mean it's a good gamble. That one machine may have a game that's 99.4% and another game that's 97.1%. So just being on that machine is not sufficient information. And often theoretical is more important than the actual EV. For example, let's assume that a machine pays 98%, say 7.5 bonus. Normally, this is way too tight for an intelligent gambling. However, if the casino has this set up as 5% theoretical, meaning they think players are going to lose 5% on this and they are going to reward you accordingly, this game might be a sufficient gamble. This might be a good game to play. How do you figure out the theoretical machine? That's a discussion for another program. Richard.
Yeah, you know, the more I learn about this, the more it reminds me of blackjack or any other kind of advantage gambling. You have to learn how to play the game and learn how to play it perfectly, but that's a completely different skill set than actually making money at it, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I have a friend who said he could teach his dog how to count cards, but getting money out of a casino doing it is the hard part. And it seems like video poker, this is also true. I think you can learn to play the game in not a lot of time, but figuring out how to actually make money at it is a tough thing.
So, yeah.
bribing hosts? Is that the way to go to get these?
That's been known to work. The care and feeding of a slot host is a delicate art. So we discuss a lot of this kind of issues on the last class of the semester, which is the class is called Secrets of a Video Poker Winner, which is totally different than whether you should hold a three-card royal or a high pair on any particular game. All right, changing subjects. We received an email at gmail.com from somebody who wants to be known as Car Guy. He has a couple different issues, and one of which we're going to get to today. It seems that he feels lonely out there as an Advantage player and would like it a whole lot better if other Advantage players were friendlier to him. After all, we're all competing against the same enemy. Now, on this subject, Richard and I have disagreed in the past. I don't know if that's going to happen today or not. I think Advantage players are competing against each other as much as they're competing against the casino. If there's a whole card game that I find, I don't want you around taking a seat on what I consider to be my table. If there's a high video poker progressive, I want my guys in the seat, if I had guys. If you hit the progressive, you're not going to give me anything, are you? And I'm certainly not planning on sharing with anybody who I didn't have a prior agreement with, which in my particular case is usually nobody. But in Richard's case, he's been known to play with teammates. Also, let's say a casino is watching me like a hawk. Richard has talked about this in the past. And this casino is really close to throwing me out. If I act friendly towards you, I've just poisoned your future at this casino. And if you're the toxic one, I don't want you anywhere near me. Worrying about how lonely you are as an Advantage player is absolutely the last thing I'm concerned about. At the same time, dealing with these feelings of loneliness and solitude is one of the problems of being an Advantage player. You usually can't talk about what you do with anybody. It's not an easy life. You spend it on the road. But you have to learn to deal with these issues if you're going to succeed at this game. This isolation is one reason a lot of otherwise successful players quit the game. Richard, how nice are you planning to be to this Car Guy?
Well, I don't know about the Car Guy, but I will say I've said often if I had to play alone, I wouldn't play. And I think that I think a lot of it has to do with a person's personality. But I also think how much money you make is directly correlated to how big your circle of friends is. So rather than seeing the guy as competition, he may be the guy that calls you that says, hey, I just found this progressive that's up and, you know, there's a seat here. Why don't you come take it, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, so to me, that is a really, really important part of Advantage play is having that.
Of culturing other Advantage player friends.
Recently, I was kind of having this discussion with someone else and in talking about sharing information.
Uh-huh.
And my thought is that I can share information with a lot of people because I can share things that aren't going to affect me. So, for example, if I know somebody is a card counter, those are games I'm not going to play. So if I find good conditions for a card counter, I can share that information and then have that person scout for me for things that I might be interested in. And I can find a way to do that without sort of giving away the store. So,
good.
Yeah, that's my feeling about it.
Speaking of giving away the store, you got an email asking about the Downtown Grand. Yeah. apparently asking you to give away the store.
No, well, not really. So, but what I have to say, you know, one of the things let me change that. You have to learn how to scout.
Mm-hmm.
So, the person was actually asking me about the loss rebate at the Downtown Grand.
Yes, $1,000.
$1,000, 100% rebate.
Yes.
And he said he was playing a top dollar machine where you could bet $20 a spin. And I said, well, there are much better machines than that. Mm-hmm. You know,
there were anyway.
The what?
They don't have a high limit room anymore.
Right. Well, he said they took out the high limit room. When I went down there and played, they had the high limit room, and I found a machine where I could bet $250 a spin. So, so I said, you know, well, they had these machines, and he said, no, you know, we scouted it all out. The best we can find is $20 top dollar. Anyway, coincidentally, I had a friend in town who also went to play the same night.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mentioned to him, you know, I'd found a $250 spin machine. And he didn't find that, but he did find a $150 spin machine. So, you know, I can't emphasize enough the importance of scouting, you know. And if you can't find the good stuff, you need to spend more time looking, you know.
Good.
But so that doesn't really that would piss me off a lot if the person was a teammate of mine that only found the $20 machine. But the one thing I should say that does piss me off is I'm not people's personal Google. Like, I really hate getting questions that the person could have found the answer in the amount of time they typed the email to me. If they had just typed it into Google, they could have found the answer. So, you know, don't email me asking if it's right to split a pair of twos against a seven.
Yeah, well, I get those email twos. Like, if the progressive is at $5,000, what's this game worth? Well, duh, there's a whole lot of software out there.
Yeah.
Okay, now you got another email this week. Apparently you got this great job offer. There's this casino who wants to hire you to train their surveillance guys. Of course, you may end up getting flyered everywhere just by showing up to take this consulting job. They probably won't pay you as much if you have a shopping bag over your head like the unknown comic did years ago. So with such an attractive prospect, Richard, I don't see how you can possibly refuse. When do you start this new job?
Yeah, I don't think they would be that devious to flyer me if I were to go consult with them. But, you know, I had to decline. I mean, I did consider like what some of the other Advantage players have done, where you go in and basically tell them, look, you're losing far more money to employee theft than you are to Advantage players. You know, it's not something to worry about, and you should, you know, increase your penetration and get more hands per hour. And I just thought, nah, why? You know, somebody else can go do that. I just couldn't bring myself to. And what could they pay me? I mean, I didn't even ask, but I mean, what could they possibly pay me that would be worth me doing that? I had to decline.
Yeah, just tell them to read Zender's book from 20 years ago.
You know what? I recommended that they contact Bill Zender or Sal Piacente. You know, and I think those two guys would also tell them you're losing far more money to employee theft than you are to Advantage players.
All right. In the news this week, Hard Rock Hotel is being sued. Apparently, there was this player, blackjack counter, who was up $3,500 or something, and they tackled him, they handcuffed him, put him in a back room. When he was handcuffed, they took his wallet out of his pocket against his protestations, photographed his ID and all other kinds of information about him. Against his will, against his active protestations. This is a Bob Nersessian case now as we speak. What more can you tell us about this, Richard?
I put the over-under at 40,000, but that may be low.
I'm taking the over. Do we want to bet on this?
I think my number may be low, but you know, it's mind-boggling.
They got $200,000 out of Mesquite for less than this.
Yeah. Well, no, they held them hostage in the hotel room, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah, you're right. They did get a lot more at Mesquite. Mm. But, maybe I'm way low. This is mind-boggling to me that casinos are still this dumb. I just can't imagine – And it's sorry, but it just seems like there must be really bad management at the Hard Rock for them. I thought they handled the whole Ben Affleck thing really poorly, and obviously that wasn't as bad as this. But now this it's just mind-boggling that makes me want to go play the Hard Rock.
Oh, so you can make the 40,000. Uh-huh. Now, if that's the reason you go in, Nurse Essien wants no part of your lawsuit. So, all right, let's talk about, maybe it's related. Let's talk about James Gross Jean and a recent column he wrote. Now, at one time, Richard, you called James the best blackjack player in the world. Is that correct? Could you have said that?
Yeah. I mean, if my life was on the line and somebody said, you get to pick one person to go into a casino and they must win money for you to live, if they could do it any way they wanted, I'd pick Steve Forte. But if it had to be done legally, he would absolutely be – he would know more ways to beat more games than I think anybody else in the world.
Okay. So he has a blog that appears on Las Vegas Advisor website. The blog is called Beyond Numbers. And one of his recent articles concerned what to do if you're standing in the middle of a casino. You're not playing. You're not drinking. Usually are probably just scouting or being on the lookout for things. And a security guy comes up and asks to see your ID. What do you do? Now, Gross Jean's basic premise is never give up your ID. Get out of there as quickly as possible and stay out of there for at least a year. It's a lot easier to make your life miserable if they know for sure you're John Jones, date of birth June 4th, 1992, address 123 Main Street, Las Vegas, than if they know you're kind of tall and skinny and wear a New York Mets ball cap and you have a black jacket on today. Totally different level of information they have about you. There are a lot more subtle points that James makes in this article. I recommend you you read it. If you Google Beyond Numbers, you'll find it. Now, in video poker, it's a lot different. If you ever get a jackpot of $1,200 or higher, you must give up your ID. Even if you're not playing for high stakes, which would generate a jackpot that size, to get a player's card at most places, you must show ID to get that player's card. In most casinos, the video poker games are unplayable if you don't have a player's card. And by unplayable, I mean the house has the edge. So most of us who play video poker have bitten that bullet long ago. We've given our IDs to casino. Now, whether or not you give your ID to casino probably shouldn't be a decision you take it lightly, because once you've done it forever. It's crossing the Rubicon, so to speak, or posting that picture on the internet. It's like once you've done it, you have done it. Casinos keep pretty good records. Now, most video poker plays are grinded out affairs. Royals are few and far between. And we often play at the same place over and over and over again, and often for years. The casinos get to know who we are and what our habits are, so they can have as many good pictures of us as they want through their cameras of various places. Giving up your ID in that kind of environment isn't such a big deal. But also, video poker players usually play the game in a way that most casinos understand, at least approximately. The good players make fewer mistakes than others, recognize how good the promotions are and how several promotions add up and stack up, and how to find other advantages along the way. Successful table game players thrive on being sneaky. They usually are not playing the game the way the casino understands. The casino expects the game to hold 2%, 6%, 10%, whatever that number is for the individual games. And they expect people to voluntarily come in and lose the requisite percentage. Smart advantage players aren't interested in playing games where that's the net result. But sometimes through counting systems or player collusion or dealer mistakes or casino mistakes, players can find the edge. Perhaps a shuffle machine is exploitable. Maybe the cards aren't cut perfectly. Whatever. Perhaps the players can make it appear like they're losing when they actually aren't. Players who can actually do these things are players casinos don't want. So they want, the casinos want to know who these players are so they can eliminate them permanently from their casino, which is the main reason you don't want to give your ID as a table game player, especially to a random request. Richard.
Well, you know, it's funny because at different levels it changes, right? I mean, the biggest money to be won, if you have a really large bankroll, it goes back the other direction, where now you do have to be known to them and be able to put up a credit line or front money, and in which case you are going to have to give your ID and social security number and those things. And what's a shame is sometimes you just – your name gets burned out before you have the bankroll to really exploit the biggest money to be exploited out of the casino. So, you know, it's really a tough thing. It's I would say there's an exception to the request for ID rule, and that is if you're young. And then there's some judgment involved, because if you're, you know, if you look young, security guards are just going to come up and ask to see your ID, or the dealers do it. This is one of the things that really annoys me, is when dealers ask somebody who's not even sitting at the table. You know, a young person comes up, starts watching the game, and the dealer says, "Can I see your ID?" I'm like, "You're the dealer. That's not your job. The guy's watching, you know, like deal the game."
Actually, it might be their job, but it might
No, if the guy isn't playing the game, he's just standing there watching?
Different casinos have different rules for what they want their dealers to do.
Well, that's bad management again. It shouldn't be the dealer's job. Okay. I mean, if the person sits down and wants to play, maybe you have the dealer handle that, although I wouldn't. I would have the bosses do it, not the dealers. But, you know, you give people a little bit of power and suddenly they think they're, you know, a cop or something, which is why you have incidents like they had at the Hard Rock.
Well, I've actually been carded in the last 2 weeks.
Now, You're kidding.
I'm 68 years old.
Oh, you were going for some senior discount? And they
and they carded me. Because they card everybody apparently, and now I'm young looking. I only look 67, but I just couldn't believe it. I almost tipped him a dollar. But anyway,
wait, this wasn't one of those casinos where you have to show ID to get on the boat or one of those kind of things. Nope. This was just a
before I could get a drink somewhere in Las Vegas. Anyway, it was interesting.
That's bizarre.
So. Let's change subjects a little bit.
I think they should drug test the guy who ID'd you.
Yeah. Oh, another point Grossstein made in the article on this subject was, like, in a lot of places in the Midwest and the South, they check your ID on the way in. They have a you have to go through a checkpoint of some sort to get in, and there they check it. In Vegas, they don't.
Right.
And so it's it could be a different experience.
But, you know, I have a son who plays, who's young, and, you know, even if you go in and get a wristband or whatever, then sometimes they'll still card you, even though he'll say, "Look, I have a wristband. That's all right. I don't want to see your ID anyway."
Yeah, a couple years ago on the World Series of Poker, this guy was down to the – I think he was at the final table, and they carded him. They were saying, "You got – you." You look young. You know, do you have ID? And they actually carded him. This was the year that Fossil Man won.
Oh.
And there was so that but
because now you cannot enter a tournament at the World Series without a player's card, and you have to show the ID to get the player's card, and you can't even play a cash game anymore without a player's card, which really sucks.
At the World Series.
At the World Series.
You can at other places.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Jean Scott pointed out in her blog that there is now a free American Casino Guide app, which gives you lots of free information about casinos, plus allows you to print free coupons for the casinos you are near.
Yeah, I've sort of touted this app since it came out. I think for Advantage players, it's just one of those automatic no-brainers. You have to have this because you're driving around in the middle of Oklahoma. And you're like, where is this freaking casino? The American Casino Guide, you open it up and there's a button right there that says directions that'll, you know, bring up your navigator and take you right to it. So it's a great app to have and it's free. But yeah, so now there are all these, you know, coupons, match plays and stuff, and you can just bring them up on your phone. I don't think you even have to print them out. I think you can just show your phone with some of them and get it. So for low rollers, it's why wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, because especially like a lot of match plays have this one per person per year kind of rule on it. And of course, if it's on your phone, you can print that off a zillion times. I would think they're going to put a stop to that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Back when I was starting in Vegas, trying to make it here, I moved here in '93. I cashed probably 200 of those match play coupons a week at various casinos, and being able to print off all I could, boy, that would be manna from heaven.
I know a lot of people who buy the book every year, the American Casino Guide, just, you know, to get the coupons out of the back. And I know people who buy multiple copies.
Yes. The LBA has lots of good coupons, too, Las Vegas Advisor. And now they limit the number you can get to one address.
Yeah.
Because people were abusing that. All right. I write a weekly blog on the Las Vegas Advisor website. Last week, I explained why I don't normally play progressives. Richard, you said you had a comment on this that you wanted to bring up.
Yeah. So in that, you were talking about playing progressives, and you said one of the things that you don't like is that once you start playing it, you're stuck until the progressive hits. So you might be there for 10 or 12 or however many hours.
Yes.
So my comment is that that isn't true. You don't have to stay there until it hits. So let's say that the progressive is worth $300 an hour.
Uh-huh.
Well, you're earning your EV. And if you get tired and the progressive hasn't hit, however many hours you played, you earned your $300 an hour, and there's no reason why you can't quit if you're tired and you want to go to sleep. So, you know, at the end of your life, your win will converge with your EV.
Agreed, except your EV is gaining as it plays. As that progressive goes up, your EV keeps getting higher. And secondly, it is very possible your second best EV play at this particular time might be $22 an hour at some
other
casino.
If there's that big a discrepancy. So this reminds me of a story of Alan Woods, who was in my book, Alan was cheap in a lot of ways, especially when he was younger.
As billionaires go, he was pretty cheap.
Well, yeah, later he got over that, but yeah, 10 figures will do that for you. He was in Atlantic City, and he got up $100,000 and quit in the middle of a positive shoe. And the other card counters just gave him no end of flack for walking away from a positive shoe. And, you know, his attitude was, there are positive shoes everywhere. I mean, the game was advantage off the top. It takes you 5 minutes to find another positive shoe. And if he wanted to, he was going to quit for the day at the end of that shoe anyway. And if he wanted to have locked in a $100,000 win for the day, there was nothing wrong with that. He was going to quit and feel really good that night, you know, before he went to sleep. So, you know, that's a different situation where whatever his EV was, say his EV was, I don't know, $250 an hour, and maybe because he was quitting that particular shoe where there's 10 hands left, maybe it was $275 for that hour if he continued playing or something. I don't see anything wrong with that. And the older I get, the more I value my sleep. You know, a lot of positive EV in sleep. So I don't hold it against him.
Yeah, I see that as a very different case because video poker progressives are rare that you find one that is so lucrative, and you might find them once a week, once a month, and when they get up there, it's like, this is why you've been doing all this. So if you're not going to collect on this $300 an hour play now, and you're going to go back to your really lower plays, that's a big deal. All right.
Well, I should add, I played many years ago, I played progressive slot where we were on a bank and we had to play until the progressive hit. And it was the most miserable gambling I've ever done in my life. Now, this was back in the days when you had to feed the coins by hand and pull on the handle. And today, I don't think I would do that for $300 an hour. I might do it for an hour or two, but after that, I think I would probably walk away.
Yeah, I agree on slots. Video poker progressives are somewhat less mind-numbing. You at least have decisions to make, should you hold two pair or not. but a little bit. All right. We got an email asking us about video poker tournaments. What they wanted to know is, should you very aggressively play for the Royal in these tournaments and throw away, you know, a dealt full house or a dealt straight or a dealt flush? And the answer is sometimes, and it depends.
It's never easy.
There's two distinct types of video poker tournaments. One is a fixed number of hands. Let's say you have 200 hands to play, and so long as you get them done in 20 minutes or less, time isn't important. And most people finish after 10 to 15 minutes. So just take your time, play every hand right. The other is a speed tournament. A speed tournament is where you get a fixed amount of time, say 10 minutes, and you play as fast as you can, and however many hands you get in, you do. In the second kind of tournament, it matters less what your play is. Just get it in fast. When the Royal hands comes, you'll know it. Now, the most common games in tournaments is double-double bonus. In double-double bonus, the Royal still pays $4,000, but four aces with a kicker pay $2,000. And getting four aces and a kicker, you can get into the finals of the tournament or the into the money almost as easily as you can with the Royal. So in addition to the going for the Royal, you're also going for aces. And so there's a difference between whether you've already hit the big hand or you're still trying to. If you're still trying to and you're late in the tournament, say 3 minutes left on a 10-minute round, and you haven't hit anything, now you are going to go into the kamikaze mode. You're going to go every hand for aces or royals. If you're dealt four kings and a 10, you throw three kings away and hold the king 10. It's not it's only 16,000 to 1 that you're going to complete the royal on this hand, but 250 points aren't going to do you any good. So 1 in 16,000 is better than 0 in 16,000. Also, another key fact in tournament is often they print the results of the tournaments as they happen. So if you are during the late rounds, you already know what you have to do to win, or what you have to do to get into 10th place, or whatever that place is to go to the next round or to be in the money. That is a huge advantage. If they pay off 10 people, being in 11th place is tied with being in 511th place. And so if you already know what that number is, you can go kamikaze until you get there. And if you once you get there, now you go back to pretty much a standard strategy. Because the standard max EV strategy is what is going to build this up higher and separate you between the other people who've gone into the top 10 or whatever that top mode is.
I'd like to cover a couple of questions that came in on Twitter.
Good.
First one is a listener is asking, what is the status of lowering the winning threshold for W2Gs?
There was a proposal less than a year ago. The IRS was considered lowering it to $600. Last I heard is they have tabled that, and they are not actively pursuing it at the current time.
Right. They did get a lot of feedback from the public and from the AGA.
Where feedback means flack.
Yes. Yeah. So, right. So, for now, that's off the table.
It seems to be.
Yeah. Another one, someone is asking about stories about wildly miscalculating EV, especially overestimating it. In table games, I think people always overestimate their EV, sometimes grossly. And the worst of it seems to be when they have an investor. I've heard of quite a few incidences where an investor lets the player decide what their EV is, and that almost always works out badly for the investor because there's some kind of payment scheme based on EV. But as I say, just in general, I think people overestimate what their EV is because you just don't play as well as you think you play. I mean, video poker, even that's probably true too. I mean, you know what the game is supposed to be, but how many mistakes do you make? So,
yeah, and I think in video poker, it's easier to get a close estimate.
Yes, I agree.
And you can practice it on software before you go in, and you can get
The same is true of card counting, right? You can practice on software, and I think with card counting, you can get a good estimate if somebody else tests you. You know, because I think somebody else testing you it's going to get a better estimate than if you test yourself. But if you're doing something like shuffle tracking or, you know,
ace sequencing
or even playing a whole card, you know, oh, I thought that was a three. Oops, it was an ace. You know, I think it's very, most people are not objective at all in estimating their EV.
Very good. In 2 weeks, our guest is going to be Daryl McEwen. Now, he's publisher of the Seven Stars Insider newsletter. He looks at Seven Stars is Caesar's Palace or Caesar's Entertainment, their top status, their top steer. I play at the Seven Star level. Have for years. And so all questions about the total rewards program of Caesars we're going to be discussing in 2 weeks. If you have questions on this that are general enough to be interesting to a large segment of our audience and not you specifically, why didn't they do this to me? Send them in at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. We'll definitely consider them.
And next week we have Alan Boston, so we'll be talking about sports betting and whatever else comes up.
With Alan, a lot's going to come up.
Yeah.
Alan is a colorful guy.
Maybe we should try to have a show with Alan Boston and Lyman at the same time.
It would be a waste of both of them because they are both so fascinating and so outrageous that we want to give them the full time just for them. All right, let's do some.
I also want to mention in 3 weeks we'll be doing our G2E show. 2 weeks is G2E, the Global Gaming Expo. So you know, we always go and we check out the new games and see what's going on industry wise. And so in 3 weeks we'll be talking about G2E. We don't know who our guest will be, but it'll be somebody.
Yeah, now I will be the guest on Video Poker.
Yeah.
And so, but we have a couple of choices for our table game expert, and so we're going to hope to get them. South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else has. Every Thursday in September, they have drawings at 8:15, where 25 people will spin the big wheel in the showroom. This wheel, there are 20 positions. The 10 worst positions give you $1,000. 8 positions are for $5,000, and one each for $10,000 and $25,000. This means half the time you win $5,000 or more. The average win on this is $4,300. I was called last Thursday. It happened on that particular night. All the women were giving the MC their purse to hold, and everyone who did that was getting $5,000, except one who got $10,000. So I was near the end to be pulled, so I was going, I got to have a purse. So there was this lady in the audience. So they had us sitting in a particular place. And so I said, I need a purse to go up there. And I said, take out your wallet, take out yourself, anything valuable, but I need a purse. Here, I'll give you $10. And so she and her husband thought this was a hoot. And I said, now stay here, because however long it takes me to get through that process, I'll bring your purse back, but I'm bringing it back here. Fine, no problem. For some reason, she trusted giving me her purse. I assume she had no idea who I was. And so I get up there holding the purse. And so I, now there's some strategy in, the wheel has to go around two times. And there's some strategy, and it starts at 25,000 usually. And so to go exactly two times around, so you can kind of estimate how that is. Although when people were coming short, the audience was booing. Now, I teach classes there, and they're one of the sponsors of the show. The last thing I want is to have anybody booing. So when I gave it, I just ripped it and just gave it a...
What's the lowest payoff?
$1,000.
Oh, $1,000. Okay.
Which is not shabby for a drawing.
Yeah.
And so I ripped it, and it turned out it got to the $25,000 and a little bit more and ended up on $1,000. So...
So the purse didn't help you.
The purse didn't help me. They gave me my money back. They go, well, it didn't help. So here, we won't take your money. But anyway, that was a hoot. We'll be there this Thursday as well. Hope to get called again. The way to get called is you have to earn tickets. You get one virtual ticket for every dollar coin in, up to 1,600 per day. Slot players earn tickets three times as fast, but they're still up to 1,600 a day. Thursdays, you can earn 1,600 before the 8 o'clock deadline to earn tickets, and then 1,600 afterwards. So there's a maximum of 12,800 for the week. Now this is a low roller drawing, basically, that favors people who can play every day, but still with 25 winners every week, an average prize of more than 4,000. This is a pretty good deal. New semester, free video poker classes will begin tomorrow on Wednesday afternoons at South Point, Grandview Lounge. Jacks or Better is the first class. It's the basic building block to the other games. We're going to be teaching later in the semester double bonus, double-double bonus, some quick quads, some multi-strike. And so these games are all based on Jacks or Better. So even if that's not your final game of choice, unless you're playing Deuces Wild, which is a whole different animal, you need to know the basics of Jacks or Better to get started. At the Palms, every Friday night, 7 p.m., they have... they're giving away $10,000 at the drawing. They post the numbers. You have until midnight to collect. If you don't collect, the money evaporates. They have extra drawing tickets every Friday afternoon and evening. PFP, play for prizes. Until this Friday, September 18th, you may earn Costco gift cards. Following 2 weeks, you may earn Fresh and Easy gift cards. The gift cards may be earned and redeemed Monday through Friday, up to 190 each of those days at a rate of 0.20%. If you play slots, it's a rate of 2%. You keep your points. VideoPoker.com. It's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get corrections on most game. It's a good way to practice Quick Quads, for example. Quick Quads happens to be the game that I'm playing during the South Point 1600 points a day on my card and Bonnie's. They have weekly contests. The weekly contest this week is Super Hand Poker. This is a game most of you haven't seen before. It's a brand new game. They'll be introducing it at G2E. It looks like triple play when you come up to it, but it's different. You get dealt three separate hands. And you're paying 10 coins per hand. The machine picks which one of those hands is best, and then you play it like you play triple play. You make your plays on that hand, and it goes up on the other two. So you're always playing the best of the three. It's if you think another hand is better than the one you actually selected, you can change it. But the engineers at IGT think that they have it down pretty good. There was some errors in some other games in the past, but it's a much stronger computer into the video poker machines today than there was previously.
It shouldn't be that hard to compute.
It isn't, but it also could be that players like specific kinds of hands more than others.
Yeah, that would be my thought. If I think a certain hand is better, I should be looking at my own my own choice rather than thinking that they've made an error.
All right. So we have one more question from a listener, gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. This guy plays table games, and he was playing a game called King's Bounty Deluxe 10X. So it's apparently a side bet based on blackjack where you can multiply your bet up to 10 times under certain conditions. And so apparently the dealer had either an ace up or a 10 up, and the player wasn't sure whether or not the dealer was supposed to check to blackjack before he parlayed. And previously they had check for blackjack, but now he came up to a dealer who didn't. And while the pit boss was watching, the player parlayed the
10 times.
10 times from a $25 bet up to $250. The dealer had a blackjack, swiped all this money real quick. The player estimates that he lost between $800 and $1,200 illegally by this. Wants to know what to do with it. The casino has made, back and forth, has made an offer to get they're going to give him $250, hotel room, and I don't know, free champagne dinner or something. And but he has to come up to the cage and show ID. They have a picture of him, and so he wants to know if it's worth it. Should he go see a lawyer? Richard, where are you at on this?
I mean, this whole story was very confusing to me, and it sounded like he didn't know the rules of the game he was playing.
So why was he playing it?
Yeah, although he said he had an edge. I mean, I don't know. The whole thing seems crazy. I mean, first of all, once you figured out that they'd done something wrong, I don't know how you continued to lose more. It was after the fact you figured out that But my first call would be to the Gaming Commission, right? I mean, now if you're in a state that has no Gaming Commission, like, and it's an Indian casino where there's no, because some Indian casino states do have a Gaming Commission. But if you're in one where there isn't, I think you should take anything they give you and be happy that you got it. So, unless it requires an ID, I don't know. I might just pass on it anyway, because I don't know if they were suspicious of the guy at all, or I don't know. I don't know what to make of the story. It just seems bizarre to me.
Yeah, he was wondering if he should contact Bob Loeb, who is an attorney based in Chicago, does some gaming things, but for $800 to $1,250, if I were Bob Loeb, I was going, sure, I'll take the case. Give me a $25,000 retainer.
Yeah, but Bob might just say to the guy, forget it, or he might say, you know what I mean? He might say, yeah, pursue it in this manner. He's not going to take the case, obviously, but he might be able to tell the guy, give the guy some helpful information.
He could be. I was trying to save Bob Loeb some...
some grief.
Some grief.
Sorry,
why,
Bob.
And if it comes down to, I will give you the $250, but you got to show your ID to get it.
To me, that would completely depend on whether I thought I had any heat there or not, you know. If I thought I was completely clean there, yeah, I'd probably show ID for $250.
How about for $150?
Yeah. Also depends on if I'm going back, you know what I mean? If I'm in some place in Oklahoma and I don't plan on being back there, then I would probably take the money. If it's a place I'm playing a lot, I would probably not.
All right. Or if it's part of a chain where you play if it's like a Caesars property where if they do have heat, they're going to publish your picture everywhere.
Yeah.
That can make a big difference. All right. So, Richard, how can our listeners get a hold of us?
So we welcome your questions. You can send them to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com or facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge, or you can tweet them at us at RWM21. You can get the show delivered to you automatically in your sleep every week by signing up either at iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or at my site, richardmunchkin.com. You can find archives of all the old episodes at bobdancer.com.
All right, one final thing. Our show starting next week is going to move 6 hours later. It's still on Tuesdays, but instead of being 10 to 11 in the morning, it's going to be 4 to 5 in the afternoon. And it's been done for a lot of reasons on our end. Basically, we don't want to get out of bed so early, and our guests don't want to get out of bed so early. So that's going to be starting next week. So if you're a live listener, and so it might mean that the shows don't get posted until the following day. So that hopefully is not a showstopper for any of our listeners. Thank you, Richard. I thought you were an excellent guest today. And everybody, go out and hit lots of royal flushes. Good day.
Hey.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.
Money. Views and opinions expressed on this program were those of the hosts and guests and did not necessarily reflect those of Vegas All Net Radio, its affiliates, or its parent company.